Good evening and welcome to Indie Radio News, the weekly radio news program from The Independent, a free progressive monthly newspaper and online news site based here in New York. We cover social justice movements and the issues they are fighting for, both here in the city and around the world. We are your hosts, Elia Gran and Lydia McMullen Laird. Today we have John Tarleton, the editor of The Independent, who will be guest hosting our segment on the latest developments in the ongoing MTA saga. Welcome, Hi. John.
Hi, Elliot. It's great to be here today with you and all the WBI listeners. So earlier today, New York City subway commuters experienced another morning from hell. Signal problems at Bergen Street in Brooklyn and 57th Street in Manhattan caused heavy delays on the F and G lines that rippled through the system. One exhausted F-train commuter tweeted, quote, "We got people in outer space today, and you can't get me to a different borough." Well, relief of a sort is on the way. The Federal Transit Administration recently gave the green light in its environmental review of the second phase of the Second Avenue subway project. The first phase was completed in 2017 and added three subway stations to the Q line between 63rd and 96th Street. It took a decade to complete and cost more than $4 billion. Phase 2 would extend the Q line three more stops from 96th Street to 125th Street, where it would meet with the 4, 5, and 6 trains at Lexington Avenue. It's projected to take at least a decade to complete and cost upwards of $6 billion. Is this the best use of our mass transit resources? We're joined today by New York City transportation reporter Aaron Gordon. Aaron is the author of the weekly Signal Problems newsletter. It covers all things related to New York subways and is quite informative. Aaron, welcome to Indie Radio News.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's great to have you with us. So first of all, what do you see as the pros and cons of Phase 2 of the Second Avenue subway project getting this green light from the feds? And is this what we need at this time when our subway system has so many other problems to be addressed?
Well, I think it's a complicated answer to that. There's no clear answer. I think if you talk to the residents of East Harlem or the people who would benefit directly from this line by having a subway station much closer to where they live, they would say that, yes, it is good, because even with all the struggles the system is having, because this has been planned for much longer than that, and there's no reason not to do both. But I think if you talk to most people who ride the system every day, they would say that there are other more urgent needs and that maybe this isn't the best use of the agency's money at this time. But to get into that conversation, we really have to start talking about where the money comes from, right? Which is and the capital plan, which is separate from the operating costs to run the system day to day, comes from an agreement between the state and the city on how much they're going to give to the MTA every 5 years to build these big new projects. And so then you get into a conversation about how fungible the money is between the capital plan and the operating costs, and whether, you know, you can really transfer between the two. So it's a complicated discussion with no real clear takeaway.
But why are MTA construction projects in New York so expensive? Mile for mile, they're the most expensive new subway tracks in human history by a long margin, compared even to established cities like New York and, I mean, like London and Paris.
Absolutely, they are. And it's one of the main arguments against continuing with Phase 2, I think, until we have a much better idea of how to get those costs under control. Interestingly, though, the problem with cost overruns on mega projects, yeah, of course, it's very complicated, right? But one of the things that the MTA actually does pretty well, at least by international standards, is dig tunnels. It's actually not that expensive compared to other cities for the MTA to actually dig the tunnel. What is way more expensive in New York than anywhere else is building the stations and all the accompanying infrastructure with that. So the Second Avenue subway, the three new stations, were by far the cost drivers for why those were the most expensive tracks per mile on Earth. And the new Second Avenue line is, at least at this current juncture is projected to continue that trend because they're really over designing the stations themselves, especially with the big new hub at 125th Street to connect with the 456 line. It'll be a very large station, and that will continue the cost overrun problem. So until they figure out how to really build stations more reasonably, and that's not purely an MTA problem. There are actually regulations about designing these stations for passenger flow that honestly are too demanding, that require too much space. I mean, like, if you just go to the Second Avenue stations, you can see how much space there is, like, compared to other subway stations, and that really makes things way more expensive than they necessarily have to be. But there are legal requirements there that have to be changed.
Right, and is the problem purely technical problems, or is there are these essentially in some ways pork projects? I mean, or at least pork gets laid on. And I wanted to ask if you could talk about the nexus between, say, Governor Cuomo, the MTA, big real estate, big construction, and why spending billions to add these three stations to one subway line is so much more alluring than maintaining and fixing the system as a whole, which Cuomo in particular has shown very little interest in.
Right. So I think from Governor Cuomo's perspective, building new things is always more attractive to politicians than maintaining old things. That is not unique to Cuomo. It's not unique to New York. It's pretty much a universal rule. Politicians like ribbon cuttings. They like to say they built new things. And particularly with the Second Avenue subway, Governor Cuomo took a special interest in that project and finishing it precisely because it had languished so long in the MTA bureaucracy. And he wanted to be known as the governor who got that project across the finish line, who finished it. And he did, and he's campaigned on that, and he's made it, you know, a focus of his administration, and he wants to do more of that. You know, he wants to be known as the guy who saw East Side Access to its completion. He wanted to be the guy who got phase two started, you know, all of these things. I don't think he anticipated, nor did really anybody anticipate, just how teetering on the precipice of disaster the subway was on a day-to-day basis. And now that's something he has to deal with unexpectedly. And it's also a more difficult problem to solve because it's much harder to communicate to voters what you did and how you did it to fix it that doesn't implicitly admit the shortcomings of his administration beforehand, because of course he was overseeing the system when it fell apart, right? So he's kind of in a bind in terms of his political interest there. In terms of like the nexus with real estate and whether these are pork projects or not, I don't have any like direct evidence that there are people, you know, like in a room figuring out how to make these projects as expensive as possible. I even know that some real estate people are interested in seeing the projects cut in cost, because if they remain so expensive, they can't build more of them, and that limits the opportunity for these real estate executives to increase the value of the properties they hold, right? The more the subway can build into more areas, the more property is going to rise in value. So I think there is some interest from the real estate to actually do the opposite, to cut costs. Certainly there are parties, I'm thinking specifically, you know, some public sector unions that I don't think have a particular interest or incentive to reduce the labor costs on these projects, because fewer labor costs means fewer workers working fewer hours, which means fewer union members. The incentives are pretty clear there.
Right. We'll have to leave it there for now, Aaron. And thank you, Aaron Gordon, for joining us tonight, author of the weekly Signal Problems newsletter, which covers all things at New York City subway.
Thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from Indie Radio News. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. Follow all our latest coverage online at independent.org, that's Indie with a Y, and via social media. To let us know what you think of today's show, send news tips, or find out how to subscribe to the Independence Print Edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact@independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and see you next week.